All right, so good morning, everybody. And got a few more people coming in. Merry Christmas to you all. Mary and I are here in Mike and Sarah's home with Brielle for Christmas morning. You're in wonderful Colorado, and we're just excited to be together as a family, and really blessed and excited to enjoy Christmas together. So let me start with the word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for everything that you have done for us, all that you have blessed us with, my God. Thank you for your love, your grace, your tenderness, your mercies. We're so grateful, Father, for your sending your son, my God, for sending him in our lives and for giving such a wonderful gift to the whole world, Father, so that we could be with you for all eternity. I thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy, your tenderness. Thank you, my God, for everything that you have done for us, the miracles that we have seen, the blessings, Father, the word that you've taught us. Thank you, Lord, for your loving grace and tender mercy and all these things. We celebrate the birth of our Lord today, Father. We celebrate it in our heart. May not be the right day, but we celebrate it, Father, for the love that you had for all of us. And we're just grateful and we are thankful. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. So, hey, this day is, it's just one of the great days. You know, God has been preparing in the scriptures, Almighty God has been preparing for the birth of our Lord and the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for thousands of years. And he starts right at the beginning. He starts at the beginning in the book of Genesis. And I think I've mentioned this countless times, but it's a beautiful verse to look at. It's in Genesis 3:15. Says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God Almighty, in the middle of giving the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin, gives them the blessing of knowing that there's coming a savior, there's coming a seed that will deliver all mankind and destroy the devil and all of his works. Going to turn this whole thing around. So even in the judgment that God gives to man, and he's going to lay out for them what that judgment's going to be, even in the middle of that, God gives us hope and blessings. In Isaiah, in chapter 7, in verse 14, thousands of years later, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And, you know, you think about this. Some of the greatest revelation that God has ever laid out for us to see, for you and I to see in this day, was given to people who never listened to or believed one single word that Isaiah said. In fact, Micah, they didn't believe him. I'm going to quote a scripture from him. Jeremiah is the same. Hosea is the same. The revelation of the coming of the Christ always came, and details about his birth always came in the midst of the darkest judgment against his people because God wanted them to understand and to have hope. And since they didn't believe it, God wanted you and me, all of us, to have that hope. He wanted us to know that he was working and loving us so much that in the midst of all that darkness, he was never going to quit, and he was going to send his child into the world to redeem mankind. What a wonderful blessing. What a love. What a wonderful loving God. In Micah chapter 5, I'm going to start teaching Micah starting next week. But in chapter 5 and in verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, as is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." There's coming out of Bethlehem a ruler. Now, a lot of these verses are familiar to us because we read them in the New Testament quite often. I don't think too many people read Micah very often. And that's why I wanted to study Micah, because the context is really pretty incredible. But go to Hosea. In Hosea, in verse chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "And when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Israel and out of Egypt I called my son." Just a simple, straightforward truth that the people at the time wondered, what did that mean? You know, the people at the time that heard Micah, so Bethlehem. Out of these going to come a ruler? Okay. All those people lived and died and never saw it. The people after them lived and died and never saw it. But the truth is, they never believed it to begin with, right? God is, go to Numbers 23. One of the great truths in the scriptures, Numbers 23. In verse 19, and something that you got to hold on to no matter what. It says in verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God, every word of God is coming to pass no matter what. Remember, Brielle, I talked the other day, you know, when God says to do something in the word, right? And you wonder, why do I got to do that? And then I gave you that story of me and my father, right? So my dad would just simply say, "Because I said it." He was the authority. He was the father. He was the man of the house. He was the ruler of the home. I was the child. When it comes to God, now he wasn't always right in what he said, because he was a man, but he was my dad, right? God is always just. God is always right. God Almighty God is always merciful and compassionate. But whatever God has said is going to happen, it will come to pass. And if he asks us to do something, we do it whether we understand it or not. I believe these things. I believe my Lord and Savior is coming back. I don't know when, but I believe he's coming back and he's going to commence the kingdom of God, right? But I don't know everything about it. But I believe those truths, just like he wants us to believe. And God proves at the first coming of our Lord and Savior, he shows us all these verses. And then in the New Testament, he tells us, hey, just like I said, this is going to happen. Just like I said, his name is going to be called Emmanuel. Just like I said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. To prove and to build our faith that we can always trust in what God says to us. Go to Titus for a second. Titus chapter 1. Because the most important thing so much is that I learn to trust what God says, whether it looks like it or not. Titus. Chapter 1, the beautiful verse here in verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, we are living in hope of eternal life. We're going to be together forever and ever and ever with God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and with all those that love the Lord. What? An absolute joy to know forever. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God doesn't lie. He's promised it. And you know what he wanted? He wanted a planet filled with people that would love him. And you know what God's going to get? A planet filled with people that love him. God's going to get what he wants. And we that believe are going to be the recipients of those blessings. All we got to do is stay faithful. All we got to do is stay faithful. See, our Father, the enormity of the coming of the Messiah the first time, the birth of the Messiah, the enormity of it, stretches my mind, because in the scriptures, our Father aligned the universe. He aligned all the houses. We call them the zodiac today. They're called houses, right? There's 12, all right, sets of constellations in the sky that rotate around. Actually, we see them differently as the centuries go by. God aligned them all, so, and the planets within them. And it's like the most complicated, intricate thing, just to align it so that the Magi would know that a king was born. And then they would travel by camel all the way from Babylon, all the way to Israel, and search for a king. God did an alignment of the universe to proclaim the birth of his son. How much does he want people to know? To what extent has he done these things? And I know we just read over, we've heard this the story, the birth of Christ, so many times. We've read it in the Bible, it almost gets a little boring. But when you really contemplate enormity, the awesome enormity of thinking all of this through at the time of creation itself. You got to know he loves you. You got to know that he wants you. You got to know that we as simple people, he really does want every aspect of our lives. And he cares for us. So go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start reading here in verse 26. We got time today. I would read the entire record, birth record, and a little bit of Zechariah beforehand. And again, God sends an angel. Remember that to Zechariah on the job, and says, "Your wife, you and your wife, are going to have a baby." Zechariah is a very faithful, wonderful believer. Says, "How's this going to be?" Well, I'll give you a sign. You're not going to talk until it comes. And the guy went deaf. He went mute. He went dumb. Couldn't speak until he was born. They asked him, "What's going to be his name?" He says, "His name's going to be John." He didn't believe. But you know what? It didn't get in God's way. The two of them still had a kid. Nothing's getting in God's way. And all that was done for John the Baptist to come before, and also to give Mary faith to see that what the angel said to her about her cousin Elizabeth, she was pregnant for 3 months. So she went right after the angel talks to Mary, Mary goes to her house and sees that she's pregnant. It's just a joyful thing. In verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel of the Lord was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail. Hey, Mary, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." But his real name, that's his Greek name, right? His real name is going to be Yeshua. "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." This is Mary, you're going to have the Christ, the King. God is going to give to him the throne of King David and shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I'm not married yet. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If God wants something done, it's going to be done. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. You know, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever you said, I'll take it. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hills and with haste unto the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And there's the rest of this record. Elizabeth acknowledges by the Spirit of God that Mary is pregnant with the Messiah, her Lord, and that there's going to be great things coming. And then Mary prophesies and talks so much about what God is going to do, the hope that he has given Israel, and all the wonderful blessings that will be there as they go. Go to chapter 2. As time has gone by here in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Now, it's bad enough that they tax us, but then they want you to move back to the town you were born in. That's a little rough, right? And then Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, what are the odds? All right, if you're a rank unbeliever, what are the odds that when Micah spoke those words 700 years before, that there's going to be a guy who's going to raise taxes and make everybody go back to their hometown, make you go back to your hometown, and it happens to be where Joseph, Mary's husband, came from, and it's called Bethlehem? Just a coincidence, right? Come on. When you start to marvel at this stuff, you just have to marvel at the at even that in itself is a miracle. Some guy just comes, politician gets something, he needs more money. So he's go, okay, I'm going to raise taxes and I want you all to go back where you came from. And this is a part of God's plan. It gets the job done. And then it says, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, she's ready to give birth. And so it was while they were there, the days of her days were accomplished, she's ready to give birth, and that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Everybody had come in. There was no place to rent, no place at all. So they were in the manger. And the mangers were like, people would live upstairs. The animals would be downstairs. The heat from the animals and all that would keep the house warm at night. But, you know, that's how it kind of worked. They were all made out of adobe. And everything that you owned was in the house, like Brooklyn. You move up, you go up, and that's sideways. All right, that was a joke. Mm-hmm. And there were, in verse 8, and there were of the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And again, when they would wrap a child in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth about 4 inches wide, they would wrap the baby, they'd clean the baby with salted water, and then they would wrap the baby in swaddling clothes. And then it would only take a few minutes, and then they would unwrap the baby. And that was, there was customs involved in that. They would unwrap. Therefore, those guys had to show up just at the right time to see him in swaddling clothes. Just at the exact right time. Minutes. God sent an angel just to the shepherds in the field. You want to know why? Probably the only people who believed and were ready to hear the message. And then suddenly there was an angel and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see these things which come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And they said, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They went out and told everybody in town. And all they which heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. That he's born in Bethlehem. God announces it to the whole world, you know, with the stars, but even sends angels to those who are faithful. Go witness this. My son is here. And they go out and witness the rest of the town. And everybody's wondering, what's going on? What's going on? God is doing his thing. He is doing his thing. And go to Revelation. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, starting in verse 5, it says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prepared to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." You have here in this verse, you got the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which was a prophecy that was told the children of Israel. He's of the Root of David. He's of the bloodline of David. And he is the one that has prevailed. And he's going to open this book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it hath been slain, a slaughtered lamb, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, took the book right out of the hand of Almighty God. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are like incense. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us." Who's talking here? The beast, the elders, the people in heaven. "You've redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You got the angels, and every one of mankind has been redeemed and paid for back because of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and ever. what our Lord and Savior did. God planned his coming. He made it known throughout the scriptures. He made it known by telling us every detail in so many ways of what he would say, what he would do, where he would be born, everything that, about his life, how he came out of Egypt, that was in Matthew. And even in the book of Matthew, it says that that it should come to pass. It says that quite often in the book of Matthew when it talks about these records. God wants us to be assured and absolutely true. And it goes all the way to the end. And you know what? It's not just us here. It was also the heavenly hosts, the people in the throne room of God. They recognized that this was the one who was worthy. He was the one that redeemed them. Remember, one third of heaven was ripped apart. You know, one third of the angels were cast out of heaven. They were not untouched by this thing. So when you think about the birth of our Lord and Savior, you think about the immensity of what God has done to bring it to pass, to see it come to pass. You just got to be in awe and grateful and thankful and really appreciate everything that's been done. And I encourage you all to think about it and to read and to just sit back and enjoy it. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.